Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. My Christmas gift, one of them, is a tower of wooden blocks stacked crosswise that rises a little over a foot tall. It sits on my desk. It's a game where each player takes turns pulling a block from the stack, and whoever pulls the block that collapses the tower loses. I wondered what I might do with this. I don't get much time to play a game like this, although I'm sure I'd enjoy it. It occurred to me that it's rather like the metaphor of the Tower of Babel. That has become a symbolic representation of Satan's ongoing effort to pull the world together into a one-world government out from under God, under the power of a man of sin like, well, Nimrod, in the case of the original story, all a part of Satan's defiance against Christ. Anyway, I decided to set it up on my desk, and each day, when I get to my desk, I pull one block from the stack, and one day I know I'm going to remove the block that will collapse the entire tower. It encourages me because I know that every time Satan gains sufficient influence in the world to pull mankind together into a one-world government out from under God and in rebellion with him, God intervenes and destroys that tower. He breaks the power of Satan by destroying whatever structure or structures of rebellion he is erecting in the society and culture and so on in defiance to Christ today. It's the deep state, and with its swamp and its network of strategically placed children of disobedience who operate under the spirit of Antichrist to carry out Satan's designs in the earth to kill, steal, and destroy. The key operating principle is the lie. These children of disobedience, well, they are the tower builders. In our dispensation, in our time in God's service, the intervention of God works a little differently than it did back in Genesis chapters 10 and 11 with Nimrod. God came down then, destroyed the tower, most think by a massive earthquake that literally divided the continents and separated the kingdom of man all over the world by confusing their language. Today, the essential principle is the same, but the method is different. Today, the children of obedience are charged with the task of taking down the tower brick by brick or block by block. God sent his Son, Jesus, the Christ of God, who planted in this earth his church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and equipped his disciples with the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the truth, the word of God, also likened to a hammer, by the way. And with it, in the name of Jesus, we assault the tower built by lies and bring it down block by block with the blow of truth after another blow of the truth. So every day after my devotions, I come to my desk and remove another block and pray for the day this current effort to pull the world out from under God and fully into the power of Satan will suddenly collapse again. 'Cause that's how it works, my friend. It seems to be moving so slowly, and it appears no matter what we do, no matter how many lies we expose, how many blocks we remove, you know, how much truth gets out, the tower continues to stand. It seems proud and arrogant against our efforts, but one day the last lie supporting the tower will be removed, and the tower will collapse. Stay faithful and true. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
True. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Ducey asked Biden about the classified documents he pilfered and kept in his garage with his Corvette. And, by the way, in an office that he maintains there near the Capitol. Biden explained, well, the garage door was locked, or something to that effect. You gotta give me a break here. Remember back in September, Biden was asked about the discovery of classified documents in Trump's possession. Biden answered the question, what do you think about Trump doing this? And he said, quote, I thought, how could anyone be that irresponsible? End quote. Now that's rich. At the time, Biden was mocking his outrage and pontificating about Trump's lack of judgment. He had top secret documents, classified documents regarding the Ukraine and Iran and the United Kingdom stashed in an office next to the Capitol, and another stash over in one of his garages. Well, there might be three stashes now. I'm losing track of this. Hans Mahnke, I think it's how you pronounce his name, host of Truth Over News with Epoch Times, offers some interesting insight into this, and I'll summarize his insights. First, was Biden's stash something newly discovered? Well, no. These documents were discovered during the campaign, but they were not surrendered to the DOJ until just lately. After the House Republicans got settled in and the news of this began to percolate among representatives, likely to get out into the public as it has, or perhaps Trump was onto it and he was going to bring it up in his trial, trying to press him on this issue. Is this like what happened with Trump? Well, absolutely not. First, Biden took these while vice president under Obama, and Biden has no claim at all to those documents. He can't argue any power to declassify them. And so what Biden did is actually a lot more like Clintonista Sandy Berger. Remember him and his pilfering of classified documents from the National Archives? Documents sensitive regarding Clinton's mishandling of terror threats. And he destroyed them with a pair of scissors. Yeah, this guy stuffed classified documents into his pants and I think into his socks or some weird thing like that. And then he cut him up with scissors and he gets a slap on the wrist. What? Well, it's actually easy to explain. One word, Democrat. These documents are concerning Ukraine, Iran, and the United Kingdom. Clearly, Biden removed these on purpose and with some purpose. Ukraine, Iran, and UK? And where did Biden keep his stolen classified documents? Well, one stash was kept at a suite of offices provided for him by the University of Pennsylvania, who established for or in honor of Biden something called the Penn Biden Center. These offices are kept in D.C., within walking distance of the Capitol, I understand. This suite is clearly a shell. Its Twitter page shows almost zero activity for over, I think, 4 years or more, and since 2017, and it remains virtually empty. A very little activity there. The University of Pennsylvania is known to have deep ties to the CCP. UPenn is a sort of, sister university with a famous Chinese Communist Party university, and that university hosts major Communist Party events. And after the university announced it was establishing the Penn Biden Center, shortly after Biden left office in 2017, by the way, China gave the university $54 million. Then, in 2018, after the center was opened, an anonymous source gave the university $14 million. Tracked it down. The source was China. And one of Biden's aides worked at the center and had to answer for $22 million that showed up in shady Chinese contributions to the Biden Center, the Penn Biden Center. Listen, that no one knows what it does. Sounds like money laundering to me. Sounds like a little quid pro quo going on for Joe. This is where Biden kept these classified documents. Why? These are documents that date back into Biden's vice presidency. In his final days as VP, Biden flew to Ukraine. Ukrainian officials and media were flummoxed about his visit. What are you doing here? The State Department was confused on our end. In connection with this last visit, Ukraine, following it, dropped charges against Burisma. Means shadow, by the way. Where Hunter worked, by the way. And what do you know? The Ukrainian energy firm made a huge donation to a Hunter Biden-supported American think tank right after these events. By the way, Biden was party to the coup against the Ukrainian president Yanukovych. that color revolution that took place in 2014 in Ukraine? Yeah. Orchestrated by the CIA here? We know that from a recording, and we know this from a recording in which Biden was specifically named in connection with that illegal coup. A few days after this coup, Russia seized Crimea. Look, don't tell me these guys aren't working together. And by these guys, I mean Biden, Putin, and now I'm, Xi, and I'm beginning to think Zelensky's in on it too. I don't know for sure, but it's beginning to look that way. As for Iran, well, we know Biden's involvement in the Iran nuke deal. Wonder how much he sold his influence for in that arrangement. And we know the UK, at least some parties therefrom, were involved in the Russiagate hoax, don't we? McCarthy, there's a lot to unpack there. McCarthy vows to release all J6 video, the full length of all the video. And that follows Ted Cruz's call for the J6 political prisoners to be exonerated. Check out, quote, the prisoner's record, end quote, on Telegram. It's called the prisoner's record. The folks at the prisoner's record are tracking developments with our political prisoners and praying for their release and their exoneration. You know, it's good to see some movement in the House to address this. But we've been fooled before. So, you know, okay, we're watching McCarthy. Let's hope MTG knows a little something we don't. Have you ever heard of the Trusted News Initiative? What's that, you say? Well, the Trusted News Initiative, TNI, is a media industry partnership of legacy media, including BBC, Reuters, and AP, WAPO, you know, who partnered, by the way, these did, with several big tech social media giants to censor online news. The partnership was formed in 2020 over concern about the rising influence of alternative media. They were limping badly coming out of the 2020 campaign. I mean, they suffered critical loss of blood. You know, if the blood of the news industry is public trust, they're corpses. Their obvious political sycophancy to the deep state had, shall we say, a sanguinary result. You got to think about that. They paid dearly for their outrageous trampling of free speech, and the loss of influence with the public cost them a loss of revenue not even Soros and Gates could offset. So they banded together to squash the competition. Using the COVID issue, mostly, and the election controversy, they set out to take full control of the information market. It's an effort to wipe out their competition and take control over what the American people get to see and hear. But as you know, what we have learned is that the government, DOJ, FBI, NIH even, I think was in on this, NIAID, HHS, all of them, but mostly DOJ and FBI, were coordinating with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube to destroy their competition by manipulating these social media giants to deplatform many of their largest audience influencers on those platforms, making them political targets and then destroying, and by this destroy their competition. Well, guess what? John Kennedy and about 10 others, not sure how many, have joined in this effort. Anyway, some patriots have got together to file an antitrust lawsuit against the so-called Trusted News Initiative. This suit has the potential to bring down the communist news cartel. Now, be patient, folks. I know we keep going to the courts and being disappointed, but not every time. And this has to play out. All right? So be patient and keep pressing forward. The communist news cartel has been long operating in America, and they've got deep roots. The propaganda machine of the shadow government that has usurped power in America is now being challenged, and more and more people are waking up to all this. All right, just about the time, I think, the exposure phase, some of you have heard me talk about that, I can't go over in detail now, is done, that we're past that. We're ready to move into the execution phase. You know, just about the time I think, okay, we have what we need. Let's lock them up. Deeper and darker secrets are dislodged from the muck at the bottom of the swamp and come, you know, popping up to the surface. Hold on to the break, and we'll share some of that with you. The Brain Masseur will be right back.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I learned some things today that challenged me to consider whether the threat we face to the people's right of free speech is not actually more concerning than the people's right of consent. Now, I think these are interrelated. Free, open, transparent elections assures the right of consent. And free, open, and transparent disclosure assures us the right of fully informed consent. Something we did not have in 2020. Controlling the Hunter laptop story deprived we the people of one of many opportunities that were kept from us to make a fully informed decision. and using these cursed machines to steal our votes deprives us of our right of consent. Election 2020 was stolen. I can't imagine any honest person looking at the evidence and thinking otherwise. Election 22 was a sort of controlled steal. Our 118th Congress must address this issue. We cannot let them get away with throwing us, six bones of concessions in exchange for us, agreeing to just look the other way while they keep the Dominion-stealing machines in place. The election issue, robbing us of our right of consent, and then the free speech issue, robbing us of our voice and ability to talk to each other about anything, comprise the foundation of the tower I talked about in my opening. It's all a throwback to the Dark Ages, friend, and that lie called the divine right of kings, that viewed the common folk as slaves, who lived to serve the elite classes. That wicked lie kept mankind in slavery and the entire world in darkness for well over 1,000 years, till the gospel broke out and its light through the truth made us free. And the Spirit of Christ, which brings us liberty, flooded the land. We cannot go back to slavery. We must return to the fundamental truths that make us free. We are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. We've got to turn around and get back to that. The Antichrist ragers cast off this truth in favor of bowing to the government in humble supplication for rights that are already theirs by birth. They prefer to kneel at the altar of Belial and make men their masters, to kiss the hand that oppresses them, fearfully entreating their favor to grovel for scraps that are tossed to them from their master's table. Some will do this because they are so miserably lazy, or they would rather surrender higher aspirations that require work for their reward and give in to the lower appetites and let the gravity of indolence sink them down into the muck where they wait for the pig slop to appear in their troughs, in which they'll bury their noses and hide their eyes from the filth of their own wretchedness. And others because they wear the brand of their owners proudly, the mark of the Antichrist spirit, the prideful open mockery of the Creator's design, hating the divine image they bear and its beauty they mar and disfigure, allowing themselves to be the devil's cruel jest, while those devils that ply upon their haughty mind watch for the grimace upon the divine visage and the withdrawing of his spirit from a proud heart that he resists. No better way to keep a heart from the touch of divine grace and his love than to wrap that heart in loathsome pride. Those of you under the sound of my voice now consider, are you weary of dining with pigs? Really? Will you remember what aspirations inspired you when you were younger? And will you return home? You will find the Father waiting upon the porch and watching. America needs to repent and return to the house of God. And it begins with you. Ye who are weary, come home. Sometimes I think it is the Spirit. He just sort of takes over. And I think it's best to go with it. When that happens, there are many election hotspots working in the country right now. Follow the professor's record, David Clements, to keep up on developments on this battlefront. Now, I'm watching Arizona for many reasons, but basically because it's obvious to me that it is a fight the deep state swamp creatures are willing to sacrifice almost everything to keep. Why? They went after Kerry like they did Trump. She must be a major threat to their agenda. And there must be something in Arizona they definitely are afraid we'll find. Kerry has filed to have her case transferred directly to the Arizona Supreme Court. I linked the filing here in my notes if you're interested. Happily, so far, the Court of Appeals has agreed to expedite her 2022 election case. So things are moving forward there. Meanwhile, the GOP Arizona legislators turned their backs on Katie Hobbs and walked out of her first State of the State address. Okay, I've come across something this afternoon during my show prep that will take a little more work, but let me summarize it here. The COVID narrative is collapsing. Facebook admits it blocked truthful information about the vaccines. FDA advisor says young and healthy people should not take the next booster. And check this out. FDA growing a conscience? Quote, federal vaccine advisors have expressed their outrage that government scientists and the pharmaceutical company Moderna neglected to share damning data about its new booster shot during discussions about whether it should be foisted upon the public, end quote. Have you heard of Catherine Watt? See her Substack here in my notes. She is, among other things, skilled at legal research and examining contracts. She took a long look and an in-depth look at the contract between the Department of Defense and Pfizer to produce, manufacture, provide, and distribute a vaccine ostensibly intended to treat COVID-19 disease. Did you know that the DOD was in a contract with Pfizer? Recently, that contract has been released via a FOIA request. The way the contract was presented to the public, however, is far from what the documents, when taken together, actually reveal. To the public, the contract was for Pfizer to provide a vaccine that, quote, effectively prevented SARS-CoV-2 infection and that met the safety and efficacy regulatory standards of an FDA EUA authorized or FDA approved vaccine, end quote. To finish today, I'm going to simply make statements supported by documents I've got footnoted in my show notes. But here's the thing. Way back in the 40s and 50s, lawmakers began concerning themselves with emergency powers for the president. But in 1983, under Reagan, the Public Health Emergencies section of that Public Health Services Act was greatly expanded to concentrate almost total dictatorial power in the office of the POTUS in the event that he declared the nation was in a state of emergency. Now, this law was written in such a way, once an emergency was declared, neither the courts nor the Congress could reverse it or interfere with the powers of the POTUS. Now, of course, I'll have you know, this is unconstitutional. Neither the Congress nor federal courts have, however, challenged this foolishness. The fact is, Congress does not have the power to give away its representative responsibilities to anyone or to any other body. To leave the people with zero representation? To put us under an absolute dictatorship? Multiple acts of Congress have moved us forward in the effort to give the POTUS the same emergency powers he has in a war, say, or a natural disaster, to a declaration of a medical or health emergency. This is very dangerous, as we have witnessed these last two going on 3 years. Everyone can see a war, and a natural disaster you can't hide. But the so-called invisible enemy, well, that's another thing, friend. They lied to us. It's easy to lie and say there's a boogeyman over there when there's no boogeyman around. This does not work for something like a virus. For example, Jackson Brooks worked for a testing lab that was contracted by Pfizer to do clinical trials on their vaccine. She witnessed they were not following proper procedures and protocols and alerted her own company. Well, they weren't interested. They ignored her. So she alerted Pfizer, and they were not interested, assuming she was very alarmed by this because obviously they weren't testing this vaccine. Assuming since the contract was with the government would certainly want to know this vaccine was not being properly tested. So she sent a message to FDA. She was fired, I believe it was the next day after it was received, and it turned out the FDA was not interested. What? She filed a suit, now referred as Brooks versus Pfizer, and presented her case. She alleged that Pfizer was not meeting the terms of its contract with the Department of Defense. Assuming the contract, as represented by Pfizer and the Department of Defense to the public, was the contract Pfizer was supposed to be fulfilling with the production of the vaccine, it comes out in court. That surprise, that isn't the case. In other words, our beef isn't with Pfizer, it's with the DOD. It's with our own government. Pfizer presented their, what they call an OTA. That's a three-letter word for cheat the American people. Well, it stands for Other Transactions Agreements. It's a category where agreements are made that bypass, circumvent the usual protections for the public when making a contract with a private vendor. They have a secret deal, as it were. Pfizer was actually under no contracted agreement to conduct any clinical trials at all. I'll explain this Saturday. It's really clever how these devils work, and I'll explain all that then, but don't have time now. So why put on the show of conducting a vaccine trial? Well, because the people aren't going to understand having a zero scientific assurance of the safety of the vaccine, and they would certainly balk. And we all know they wanted everyone to get the shot. Well, that's very important to them. We'll talk about why. You know, on the other hand, knowing the shots were causing problems in what preliminary trials were done on this technology before COVID became a thing, you following this? They did not want to present negative evidence to the FDA. So, because the law requires for the FDA to approve an emergency use authorization, the director must have some scientific basis to make the authorization, if available. Yes, those words are written into the law, if available. So, if we can arrange for the trials to be ongoing so the public goes, oh, and then we can arrange for whatever trials are ongoing, they're never available because they're not finished and they're never complete and never done. You see, the director can go forward then and authorize the EUA, the emergency use authorization. Then we find this little statement in the contract with Pfizer that explains that what Pfizer creates will be for military and civilian use. What is going on? And we find that the DOD insisted it be privy to all communications between Pfizer, the contractors, I understand, other bio companies, but importantly, any government agency like FDA or NIH, they wanted in on those conversations. Can't be talking to them alone. In short, we discover the DOD was hands-on this thing from the beginning, that it originated with them. They're the controlling factor behind the development of this vaccine, my friend. And we find out that Pfizer is in bed with China. Yeah, the CCP. DOD needs to answer some questions why they would go out of their way to contract with the one company that's totally connected with the CCP. Is this a bioweapon package as a medical treatment? What is going on here? At this point, the FOIA revelation simply raises these questions. But just about the time I think we found the bottom of the swamp, I discovered that, well, nope, haven't felt bottom of this thing yet. Those who have taken the jab are no doubt beginning to become increasingly concerned and bothered, troubled. All these suddenly dead scenarios, good night, it's starting to break through. The literally hundreds of young people who have died of sudden onset myocarditis, the multiple reports of blood clotting, and now then, followed with the slow drip, drip, drip of truth that we have to just squeeze out of these pharmaceutical companies. The vaccine does not actually protect against COVID. Well, okay, so it does not actually reduce likeliness that you'll get it. Well, okay, it does not actually assure you won't end up in the hospital. Well, okay, well, you know, ivermectin, actually, that's actually helpful. Okay, so it's very likely that it did originate in a lab. Well, it could be. And okay, well, myocarditis, yeah, it's a known problem associated with the jab. Okay, so blood clotting, yeah, well, it is associated with the vaccine. Okay. You see what I mean? This has got to stop. Those who knowingly participate in this are going to be in so much trouble. Those medical professionals who are attacking doctors of conscience, who buck the system, don't you see here what's going on? Do you not see what's coming on you? The Nuremberg trials broke through some established assumptions that many of those participating in that atrocity hid behind and comforted themselves with, thinking that, well, I can just say I was following order. And you know what was said at Nuremberg? No excuse. The argument that, well, we had an OTA. It's not going to fly. We were operating under an EUA. It's not going to fly, I'm telling you, when this comes out. Technically, according to the letter of this paper, see right here, it says in this clause, et cetera, you can't hold me accountable for knowingly releasing a dangerous product to treat a disease that 95% of those afflicted with it recover from it. I simply have to shut it down here, so I'm going to have to pick it up Saturday night. But those worried about this mess, remember, God's greater than every effort Satan might ever exert to destroy us. Get to church where there is faith. Get anointed with oil. Have the elders pray over you. Turn to God. I'll be in my pulpit tomorrow, and I'll see you in church. I've lit the lamps, the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 1-805-314-2114. And I would encourage you to hit the subscription-free button and get the Brain Massage Show delivered to your inbox each Friday night when it's posted. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.